At Church on the Word, we're building strong families on the Word of God. It's our desire to be a blessing to you. COTW messages are available to you at no cost. Feel free to listen and share with your friends. Now here's Pastor Rennie Ohl with this week's message.
Heavenly Father, we come to you today with hearts that are open. This is the most important day in a Christian's life because we serve a risen King. I thank you, Holy Spirit, for guiding and directing and leading us in the path that we are to go. I thank you for your word this morning. I thank you that we have ears to hear, eyes to see, and that, Father God, the Holy Spirit will have His way in this entire service. And we give you all the glory, all the praise, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. You all may be seated. The children, well, they're ahead of me. They're already running. Praise God. Aren't you glad for the children?
Yes.
I'll tell you what, you know, we all think about our families once we're gone to be with the Lord. And, you know, the legacy that we leave our children, our grandchildren, is Christ in them. Nothing is more important. Well, the last month, we've been on the road to resurrection.
Yes.
Well, guess what? Today, we've come to the end of the road. This is what this whole month has been all about. You know, not sure how to put this, but we've been looking at the Word from the standpoint of what Jesus went through and His resurrection. And that's what this is all about. But I want you to understand something. It's also about you and me. It's about how God changed our lives, how God has made us a new creation. And because He lives, you and I can face tomorrow. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
And, you know, I often think about what's going on in the world and how crazy things are getting and how the world, you know, I don't get how they can even function without Christ and the Holy Spirit leading them and comforting them. But we are blessed.
So blessed.
We are so blessed. Yes, we are.
Amen.
Resurrection time is a time for believers to think about what has happened in our lives. What has God done in our lives since we've asked Him to come into our heart? I want to start at the very beginning. Let's go to Matthew chapter 28. And we're going to read a few scriptures here about the resurrection of our Lord. In chapter 28 of Matthew, verse 1, it says, "At the end of the Sabbath, as it has begun to dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, and his garments white as snow. The soldiers shook for fear of him and became like dead men." Verse 5, "The angel said to the woman, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here.'" Glory to God. "He is not here. For he has risen as he has said." And then he said, "Come, see the place where the Lord laid." I want you to understand something. There's a lot of things going on in the world today, and especially in America, that we've never seen before. And, you know, a lot of people, they don't want to believe any of what I just read. But here's the thing you and I need to completely understand is that man's opinion does not override God's Word. You know, I hear all the time from different sectors of life and different people going to different churches or not even going to church at all. And they've all got opinions. You got to understand God's Word is so much greater than any man's opinion.
Amen.
You know, you can say, well, this happened or this didn't happen or whatever. But the bottom line is God said it did. God said it did. And that's good enough for me. So what we're doing this morning is we're acknowledging Him. We're here together on Easter, the day He rose. And I want us to think about what God has done for us, to consider the condition you and I were in before we received Christ as our Lord and Savior. We all have got a past. And the Bible tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so we've got to understand something. You need to stop and look at you, yourself, your family, and consider what you guys have come out of. And I know for a fact that my life changed drastically when I was 23 years old. And I thank God for the children and the young adults that are in here that have come up through Sunday school and children's church and gone on into the youth. Because by the time all that happened, when they get in here, they are not ignorant. They don't listen to man's opinion. They only listen to the Word of God. Isn't that exciting? So we need to consider the condition that we were in before we received Christ. And we need to consider the price that Jesus paid to set you and me free. Think about that. 3 days ago, it was the worst day of his life. What they did to him, they should have been doing to us. Can I get an amen? Because he took our place. He is the one that stepped in and was the mediator between man and the Father. And because of that, we didn't have to go through what he went through. Amen. Hallelujah. So, we also need to consider how your life has changed as a result of asking Christ into your heart. How much has changed? Your thinking, your attitude, the way you look at things. I can go on and on. And the more that you know what you've come out of, the more you realize how much you really have changed. Amen. Before we knew Jesus, we were bound to a sinful life, and didn't even realize that we were. We were subject to the demands of the enemy. We were subject to the demands of our flesh. Come on. Our flesh, you know, people blame Satan for a lot of things. Our flesh stinks. We have to constantly, Paul said, I die daily. What was he saying? He was saying he was putting his flesh down. He was not yielding to the demands of his flesh. Can I get an amen? Amen. We were subject to the man of the enemy and our flesh and the world. We were under the demand of all of that. We were subject to the lust of our flesh. Yes. Go with me to Ephesians, the second chapter. And I want to read just a couple of verses here, because Paul describes exactly how we were before we got born again. In chapter 2, and I want to start in verse 1, it says, "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the age of this world, and according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. Among them we all also once lived in the lust of our flesh, doing the desires of our flesh and of our mind, and we were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest." So in other words, the ones you see out in the world today, because you know them, that they don't have Christ in their heart. They haven't been born again. They don't walk in the Word of God. You and I were just like that. We were just like that, unless you were fortunate enough to come from a Christian family, a strong Christian family. But I've always said that when your children get to the point of being teenagers, now they got to find God for themselves. Because, see, up till that time, it was always mom and dad's God. They were always, you know, just doing what mom and dad said to do, or whatever mom and dad did, they did. But when it doesn't matter, the Bible says all have fallen short of the glory of God. So that means when your children become young men and young women, they have to find God for themselves. They have to know that they're born again in their God. Hallelujah. Praise God. We were in spiritual darkness, without hope. We were all bound for hell. And you know, there's a lot of people today, they did a survey here not too long ago. And the survey was done with Christians. And out of the Christians, 50% said that there is no devil. Do you see how deceptive and how if we're not careful, we can get caught up and be deceived right here in our own church? Why do you think we have the name that we got? Church on the Word. And because of it, what we are basically saying to the world, and I'm saying right now, is that my opinion means nothing. Man's opinion means nothing. The Word of God means everything. It means everything. And we need to, you know, be strong in that Word. We need to know what that Word says. We need to know who we are in Christ. Because He was the first fruits. He was the beginning of the resurrection. Now you and I, we're going to be resurrected just like He was. Just like He was. I was so honored yesterday. My wife and I went to Eufaula, to the First Baptist Church of Eufaula. And we had a great time. We went there. We were asked to speak at Carolyn Hoffman's going home service. And, you know, I kept thinking when I was up there on that platform and I was speaking, I kept thinking, she's where I want to be. She is where I want to be. She just beat me there. Can I get an amen? Amen. Death should not be a huge fear in a Christian's life, because it's all you're doing is you 1 second you're here, and the next blink or twinkle of an eye, you're in your spiritual body and you're living with the Lord and you're going to be with your Father for all eternity. Glory to God. That's something to shout about right there, church. And you know, it doesn't matter too. I was talking to the Baptist pastor there. Him and I were talking. We had never met. And it was so interesting because some of the things he was saying, I've already had in my heart. And he shared with me, he said, that some of the things you're sharing about the church and the end time and how close we are, he said, I agree with you. We need to be one. It doesn't matter what name's over the door. It matters what name is in the heart. Amen? Oh, praise God. So here we were. We were in spiritual darkness, without hope, bound for hell, for all eternity from the presence of our Heavenly Father. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So that means no matter who you are, you have to be born again. You have no choice. I mean, you do have a choice. You got a choice to be in that family, or you got a choice to be in this family. That's the choice you make. There's no middle road, okay? Hallelujah. Romans 6:23 says, for all the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Can I get an amen? We weren't good enough. We may have wanted to be, and I am convinced in my heart that there's a lot of good people that went the wrong way. I believe the hell's got a lot of good people in it that just never, they always thought that what they did, their works, their whatever, is what's going to get them there. It ain't going to happen. If you don't believe me, when you get to heaven, ask the thief on the cross.
Yes.
Ask him. One of these days I'm going to talk to that guy and find out why he was up there. I know why Jesus was up there. He was up there for me. He took my place. He took your place. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
We can't, you know, back in Ephesians again. Where am I? Yeah, Ephesians chapter 2. And I want to keep on reading from where we were. And I want to start in verse 4. But God. Now, 1 through 3 talks about our past, and which, by the way, is completely wiped out, and God doesn't even know what you're talking about. It doesn't exist. And I don't care how bad of a sinner you thought you were, or how many terrible things you did. That's under the blood. That is gone. That is over with. In verse 4, it says, but God, being rich in his mercy because of his great love with which he loved us. This is why we're not even lovable. Even when we were dead in sins, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and he raised us up and seated us together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. God loved me just the way I was and am. He loved me even when I wasn't lovable. He loved me. In fact, I used to ride a Harley. My reason for getting saved, I should have died in an accident. But that accident woke me up because I did nothing to save myself. In fact, the car coming the other way, if he had stopped, I would have owed him some money for his mirror that the handlebars of my bike knocked completely off. When I got to where I was going, which, by the way, was a bar, I couldn't even get off my bike. I was so shocked that I wasn't dead. I was so shocked that I was still alive. And I knew in my heart that I did nothing on that Harley to make it right. I froze. I mean, I froze on the throttle. I froze on the handlebars. I didn't do nothing to avoid that head-on collision. But I know in my heart, God moved that bike over and straightened it up. And I just wish I didn't tear off the guy's mirror. But I thank God that I was still alive. But my point is this, is that you and I need to realize that God loves you so much that even when you were dead in sin, even when you were in spiritual darkness, that's why he sent his son. To show you the way. To show you the way. Can I get an amen? We came to Jesus because we heard. What did we hear? But God. But God. That we are righteous in Jesus Christ. Are you hearing me, church?
Yes.
That's how much God loves you. In the Gospel of John, the third chapter, the most powerful,
yes,
powerful scripture in the entire Word of God, and you all know it. In verse 16 of chapter 3, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, And whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world would, through him, be saved. God's desire is that every human being on the planet today is for them to be in his family. Can I get an amen? And you know, this is why this day, this Easter, I like to call it the Resurrection Day. This is what it's all about. He arose, and because of his resurrection, that guarantees our resurrection. That guarantees us that, you know, that there is something after you take your last breath. Over 500 people saw him and talked to him after he was resurrected. 500 people. That's about 10 times as much as in this room right now. He's alive. He's alive. Praise God forevermore. Praise God. Thomas, one of the 12 disciples, said to the Lord, "We don't know the way." My favorite verse in the Word of God is John 14:6. It says, "I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life." He said, "No man cometh unto my Father except through me." Now, I want you to think about that. You know, a lot of times, so many different religions out there in the world. There's so many right here in the United States. But that one verse is what makes us different than any other religion. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. Without him in your heart, there's no way you can get to the Father. Can I get an amen? He is the way. He is the way. Not a way. He is the way. Hallelujah. We receive God's gift by asking the risen Christ Jesus to be our Lord and to be our Savior. Amen? I mean, that's where it begins, right there. That's what's the most important thing, right there. Because he lives, he is my Lord. I mean, why would you want to be involved in a religion where the founder of that religion was in a grave somewhere? That doesn't make any sense. But my Lord, my Savior, he lives. And because he lives, you and I can face tomorrow. We are God's very own children. In fact, the Bible tells me that God loves me just as much as he loved his son Jesus. That's hard to wrap your head around. But that's how much he loves you. Hallelujah. And now, because of salvation, because of the new birth, you now are a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation." Hallelujah. Glory to God. I want to go to Luke, if you would. Luke the... Luke, the 10th chapter. Yeah. Let me get there. You might be ahead of me a little bit. Yeah, here we go. Luke, the 10th chapter. And I want to read starting in 18. In the Word of God, Jesus said, he said, "I saw," well, let me back up one verse. The 70 that were sent out, not the 12, the 70 that were sent out, they returned with joy, because they said even the demons are subject to us through your name. When they used that name, those demons had to flee. And then listen what Jesus said to that. He said to them in verse 18, he said, I saw Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Look, I gave you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. All the power of the enemy. All the power of the enemy. He doesn't have any power that is stronger than what's in you. Are you listening to me? And then he goes on to say, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nothing by any means will hurt you. Isn't that powerful?
Yes.
You know, we need to understand something. Satan is under your feet.
Yep.
He's under your feet. Hallelujah. So you can't blame him because he is persistent. You have got a choice to make. You either can walk in the strength that the 70 did, and they saw so many miracles happen. They saw demons cast out of people, and they were so excited about what they were doing. When they came back, they couldn't wait to tell Jesus. They couldn't wait to tell him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the Gospel of John, chapter 1, there's a passage that I think is really important for us to understand. In verse 12 of John chapter 1, verse 12 it says, yet to all who receive him, he gave the power to become the sons of God. To those who believed in his name. Paul had it down. He knew exactly who he was. And then he goes on to say, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. To be born again is something that you receive from God. It's a gift. And he wants everybody on the planet to receive that gift. Hallelujah. We are brand new people. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are new. Because God loves you. God loves you so much that that's why he did what he did. By sending his son.
Yes.
His only son.
Yes.
He didn't have any brothers. He didn't have any, you know, he had half brothers and half sisters. But he was the Son of God. Hallelujah. So we are brand new people. And we're a new creation, according to 2 Corinthians 5:17. We're a new creation. You see how important this day is to a believer? You know, for the last week or two, we've been really focusing on this day because there's so much that has happened on this day that is important to each one of us. For each one of us. Each one of us had to make a decision. We had to make a choice. And I hope and pray that in your heart you know you made the right choice. Can I get an amen?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Now we are accepted. Now we have good standing. That's what righteousness is right standing with our Father. Because of now the righteousness of Christ, not of you, but of Christ is in you. And that's caused you to be in right standing with the Father. Isn't that awesome? That is so awesome. We are accepted. We are in right standing. And now we're in the family of God. You know, I can't. My family was extremely on the poverty side growing up, and Many of you might have been the same thing. But the point is that now I'm in a family that has no limits. I'm in a family now that I don't care what I need, God is my supplier. He watches over me. He watches over my spouse. He watches over my children, my grandchildren. Why? Because I'm His son. I'm in the family. I made it. And you did too. You did too. Does that mean that everything is going to be hunky-dory? No. Jesus said, in this life, you'll have tribulation. But He said, fear not, because I've overcome the world. Hallelujah. So guess what? This is the most important thing. We are delivered from the power of Satan. That means that once you understand the authority you have in His name, there ain't a demon on earth or in hell that can stop you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And you know, it's a lot of times Christians, they forget about it, or they get overwhelmed with the circumstances that they don't it's like the last thing they do is turn to God. Prayer should be the first thing. God, You see what I'm going through, and I know You're my Father, and I'm Your child. You see what I'm going through, so I'm ready. Do something. But we don't. That's the last thing that happens. You know, we try to fix it ourselves. We try to patch it up. Follow that inward witness. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. In 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, verse 21, it says, "For He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we, that you and I, might become the righteousness of God in Him." In Him. You see, it's all about Him. In fact, the Word of God says, without Him, we are nothing. Paul made that perfectly clear. Without Him, we are nothing. Church, this day, this resurrection day, we need to think and consider what God has done for us. And not take it lightly. Think about the alternatives of you not being saved and born again. Because He lives, we are God's children. Because He lives, we are delivered from the power of darkness. Because He lives, we are in right standing with our Father. Isn't that awesome? And because He lives, we can face tomorrow and all eternity. That's a long time. Yeah. Ever, forever, forever, eternity. There's no end. Isn't that awesome? That's what He's done for us. One more scripture in 1 Thessalonians. I want to read in chapter 4. And I'm going to read verses 16. It says, "For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air." I don't care about man's opinion. I don't care what your opinion is. God's word is what I stand on. And that's what you and I will cause us to be so much stronger in every area of our lives, because you're standing on something that is so powerful and so true that no matter what's going on around you, No matter what's happening around you, you're still God's child. You're still His child. You know, I often thought about when Paul talked about, you know, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. The Apostle Paul, the one who wrote most of the New Testament, he ran to the executioner. You know why? Because he knew when he took his last breath what was waiting for him. Oh, you know, at Carolyn's going home celebration yesterday, I was just really elated to be a part of that because I knew her so well and I knew where she was. Yes, we're going to be sad because we're going to miss her singing, miss her period. But it's not goodbye, it's I'll see you soon. You know, isn't that awesome? We can say that about each other.
Amen.
You know, if you don't like the person sitting next to you or row behind you or ahead of you, you better get used to it because you're going to be together forever. Are you listening to me? Oh, praise God. Because He lives, I want you to know the truth of God's Word. He's coming back. He's coming again. Aren't you excited?
Yeah.
Aren't you thankful that you've got that peace, that knowledge, that reassurance? That no matter what's going on in the world in your life, you win. I read the end of the book. We win. And just like that, Pastor and I were talking yesterday about, you know, being a Southern Baptist all his life and really nice guy, young guy. But him and I were talking about, you know, the differences that we have because of the name over the door mean nothing. And he agreed. He agreed that we are all the body of Christ. All of us are. Praise God. Hallelujah. We win.
We hope you've enjoyed this week's message. If you were encouraged by these audio clips, please let us know. Our email address is cotw@crosstail.net. If you're looking for a home church, we'd love to have you. Our address is 1511 North Highway 64, Warner, Oklahoma. For more information on our ministry, including service times, go to churchontheword.net.